So here we are at the beginning of the season of Lent, and here at KPC we're going to be exploring water for the journey during these 6 weeks. So when I was looking at the readings, I was half looking for where water was to be found in the text, but instead I discovered where water was missing. But that's getting ahead of myself. Let's go firstly to our Old Testament reading, where we enter with Adam and Eve into this beautiful garden, otherwise known as paradise, a place obviously where water was plentiful, for the garden was lush with growth. Now, we just hosted a party in the manse garden yesterday, and one thing that is clear at this time of the year, especially this year, is how dry the ground is, that the flowers are only surviving with the help of the garden hose. And I'm all too aware that there are many places that cannot spare water for such luxuries. Our garden could not be described as lush at the moment, except for the trees with their huge branches that offer us their shade. For they have stores of water tucked away from distant memories of rain. Unlike the flowers who are too new, too young to know such past blessing. So here we find ourselves in the Garden of Eden, with its good source of water, sufficient water for good growth. In this garden, there is abundance. But we read the abundance has a boundary. There is one tree Adam and Eve are told not to eat from. One boundary they are to honour. Adam and Eve were asked to trust God that it was for their best, to not succumb to the lure of living a different way from what God wanted of them. But we know what happens. They couldn't trust God, and instead they chose their own independence. This is a story of beginnings, a way for us as followers of God to make sense of our humanity, a way for us to see something of the big story of salvation, a way for us to understand the impact of human desire for control and the way that that desire and its flow-on action spoils not only human relationships, but creation itself. But this is also a story that's been deeply misused through history, used to blame this one-off event for the evil of the world, used to oppress and blame women for the wrongs of the world, used to suggest sexuality is wrong and linked with forbidden fruit. And none of these things help our understanding of what happened in the story of the garden, because they allow us to avoid our own responsibility, which is what this story is actually wanting us to see. The story wants us to see the importance of our choices for independence, our seeking of control, and their consequences. We need to hear the story tell us that to be human is to be tempted, and to be human is also to fall short, not just back then, but here and now. Adam's name means humankind. Eve's name means mother of all living. They are us. They are us. But if we only have the story of Eden to comprehend our human situation, we are left like Adam and Eve are left, naked and ashamed in our desire to control, our desire for power, our wanting to build up our own egos and to do it our own way. But there is more to the Christian story than Genesis. When instead we read Genesis alongside the story of Jesus, we're invited to see this new way to deal with our humanity, a new way to deal with thirst, a new way to deal with temptation, a way that doesn't end in blame, doesn't end in feeling exposed, a new way in which, in Christ, we can face evil, because when we turn to Matthew, we see Jesus being tempted. Now, I know I said last week that I wasn't going to test you about Matthew this week, but I really hope that as you heard the reading from Matthew 4, you were making some connections. The 40 days Jesus spent in the wilderness, linking back to the 40 years the Israelites spent in the wilderness, and Moses, who spent 40 days on Mount Sinai without food as he received the Ten Commandments. So what were the temptations placed before Jesus? After 40 days of wandering in the wilderness, weary and tired, what was he tempted with? Jesus is tempted to turn stones into bread, to leap from the tower of the temple, and to worship the devil and rule the world. And when I read those, I don't see them as the kind of temptations I can easily relate to. I can't say I've ever been tempted to turn a stone into bread, or jump from a high tower, or bow down to the devil, at least not in that kind of explicit sense. But maybe those temptations are more familiar than we realise. Because when you dig deeper, the temptations that Jesus faced boil down to those same temptations of power, of ego, of doing it alone. And when I understand that, they become much more relatable. For I'm tempted by power. I'm tempted by my ego, my wanting to be seen as important. I'm tempted to do it alone. I then am all too aware of my humanity that links me with Eve and Adam in the garden. Just as for Eve and Adam, I'm tempted to hold on to control, to seek power, to build my ego and do things my own way. I then start to understand more of this wilderness place where Jesus is led, this desolate space with so little water, this place of trials and struggle and temptation. And as I see something of Jesus there, I know that in him, we too can emerge from these experiences. We too can deal with the reality of the wilderness, the desert, and we get through it. But like Jesus, we too have times when we must take this long road through the wilderness, where there is no shortcut. Remember, though, that the story of Jesus going into the wilderness, being led there by the Spirit, comes straight after his baptism, an event that speaks of the importance of water and of water's huge symbolic power. Jesus is baptized, and out of the waters of baptism, out of this recognition of who he is as a loved child of God, he is sent into the wilderness where there is no water, this dry desert place where he's tempted. So the first thing to recognize in Lent is that we need to drink of the water we have when we have it, to immerse ourselves in the waters when they are there for us, to fully experience the word of God upon us that reminds us that we are God's beloved child. For there will surely be times to follow when we are thirsty and we have to go without. And in those thirsty times, we will be tempted. So drink deeply of the water when you can. Immerse yourselves in the water when you have the opportunity. No one purposefully goes on a journey without water. But the reality is sometimes we have to go without, and we have to depend on what we had before. To be the tree in the garden that can offer shade in the dry days because it stored up water when it could. There'll be times when we're called into a desert place where water is limited and it will be unpleasant. But we can survive going thirsty for a time. Sometimes we have to endure thirst. And in that thirst, we are confronted with temptation. It's a reality. Facing evil is a reality. And we will be thirsty then. Temptation and thirst often come together. And when they do, we will need what we are offered before. But more than that, we also must realise that when we have been through such a time of dryness, we then need to be replenished when we get the opportunity to drink deeply once again. As we live out of our watery baptism, we will face times of dryness and we will have to reckon with evil. But the wonder of all this is that from baptism to the wilderness and its temptations emerges new ministry. Our ministry comes out of our enduring the wilderness and overcoming the evil that resides there. Out of the wilderness experience of temptation, Jesus is then ready to begin his ministry. And so are we. Baptism, wilderness, ministry. We're called into each one, each in its own season. So may we drink deeply when we can, and when our parched souls are tempted, may the memory of living water guide us. Let me finish with a poem. Called into wilderness, where the wild things are. Memories of cool water that once revived, refreshed, begin to fade. I grasp them back with each invitation to ego and pride. For my desire to control, I turn away, tugging back the memory of immersion, more than an oasis imagined in the sand. Waters run deep, and I am found again. Let it be so. Nikki, our prayers of intercession.